Okay, let's have something different tonight. I think you're quite sick of the Names of Jesus series. So I'm going back to a former series and continuing from there, Beloved Hymns. The Reverend Rob Yeomans of Pontesbury, England, bounced up and down trying to get more life in the choir's rendering of I Wonder Where I'm Bound. Do you know this hymn? I've not heard it before. It means I wonder where I'm heading. The Reverend Rob Yeomans of Pontesbury, England, bounced up and down trying to get more life in the choir's rendering of I Wonder Where I'm Bound. The iron grid gave way under him and he vanished into the church's central heating duct. That's where he's bound. Since last year, June, we've been featuring various hymns. Just to recap, we have covered Amazing Grace, Bestill My Soul, Blessed Assurance, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, and Can It Be That I Should Gain. It's my greatest joy tonight to share with you the hymn Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Someone once asked Joseph of Arimathea, "That was a great tomb. Why did you give it to someone else to be buried in?" "Oh," said Joseph, "he only needed it for a few days." Just kidding. Part-time tomb. When the Garden Tomb was discovered in 1885, the godly General Gordon was convinced this was where the body of Jesus had lain. When they first cleared the spot, with great caution, they gathered all the debris, shipping it to Great Britain's Scientific Association. Every part of the debris was analyzed, but there was no trace of human remains. He is not here, for he is risen. Ray J. Wilkins writes, "What makes Easter special? A church with crowded pews, folks in latest fashions, new frocks, new suits, new shoes. What makes Easter special? A large and well-trained choir singing Easter anthems the people to inspire. What makes Easter special? White lilies everywhere, filling the sanctuary with fragrance sweet and rare. What makes Easter special? To sense Christ's presence there, know that he's among them, to hear and answer prayer. Easter will be special regardless of our clothes if we have come to worship our lovely Lord who rose." Today we are so blessed, so struck by the great events of the resurrection. One man in all our history, never before, never afterwards until now, that any human being rose from the dead and lived forever. But before the resurrection, Jesus made a promise. We have Roman numeral 1, the pre-resurrection promise of the Lord. The pre-resurrection promise of the Lord. Now turn to John chapter 14 verse 12. If you want to read this, please listen. John chapter 14 verse 12. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Pause here and consider that Jesus was speaking this shortly before he went to the cross. He had not suffered. He had not died, so he had not risen. But these words are a prediction of what would happen because Jesus would conquer death and sin for us and rise from the dead for us. And then he would ascend to heaven for us. This is part of God's wonderful eternal plan of redemption. The Lord Jesus said, "Greater things than these that you have seen, that I have done, we will do in the day to come." Isn't it wonderful? But how is this so? The answer is found in John chapter 16, verse 7, where Jesus promised that He would send the Holy Spirit. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. The disciples were troubled, even as we would be troubled if a very wonderful friend has to leave us. But Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go back to heaven. But if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. It is expedient. I go to my Father, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working in you can do that which you have never thought you could do. Amazing. Amazing lesson for all of us. Amazing truth of God revealed in this. That because Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, then the Holy Spirit came down to accomplish great works in us. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, the post-resurrection work of the Spirit. The post-resurrection work of the Spirit. Someone once sarcastically said about Americans, millions of Americans are not working, but fortunately, they've got jobs. Now, pastor, being American, would say it is not true. Millions of Americans are not working, but fortunately, they've got jobs. But the Holy Spirit is working, and He's got a job. He undertook the job of working in our lives. We have letter A, a biblical example. A biblical example. And we're going to read into the life of Paul, the apostle, how this happened to him. Turn to Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. This evening it is good we want to examine how God changed the life of one man and made him a great apostle, a great preacher, a great writer of scripture, one man called Saul, destroyer of the church. Acts chapter 9 verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Jesus was watching him from heaven. Do you know that? Obviously, our Lord was not doing nothing in heaven. He's supervising all the work on earth. He's praying for His people. And His plan is being executed, being prosecuted to the uttermost. Acts chapter 9 verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. Oh, what a man! I say, can you recognize what a man he was? Saul was no ordinary man. When he had a purpose and he thought it was right, he pressed it to the uttermost. With all that he had, he would do it. That is his character. Acts chapter 9 verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. By the way, Damascus is still there. It's capital of Syria. And it is a place in history. But that road is still there. And on that road, God met with Paul to change him. And suddenly, there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. In his testimony before King Agrippa, what did he say? He said in Acts chapter 26, verse 13, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. It shone about my eyes and struck me down. It's so bright, the dazzling, and so tremendous in power that I fell down. Acts chapter 9 verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was saying? Who was speaking? Wonderful. Jesus risen from the dead is not for nothing. But this is the next phase of his ministry. no more on earth, now in heaven, supervising, overseeing, praying for us, praying for you. Now listen, Acts chapter 9 verse 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Wow, you thought I was dead, didn't you? That is why Saul went about killing Christians and persecuting them. I thought Jesus was dead and gone, crucified, buried, and rotting away. Now I hear this voice from heaven. Listen, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now comes the crunch. Acts chapter 9 verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The rest is a story of how the Holy Spirit used one man, Saul, turned him into Paul, and made him a great servant of God, willing to go anywhere, anytime, anyhow, at the greatest risk to himself. Every kind of suffering you can name it, he had it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 23 to 27 says that Paul was in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul went through all because of what? Of the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is a blessed Holy Spirit that can give you meaning in life, give you an objective in life, something worthy in life, something glorious, something so dignified, something worthy of pursuing. To serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Not only do we have a biblical example, we have letter B, a historical example. Historical example. We also want to see something of what the Holy Spirit did in the life of one man called Charles Wesley. We want to get a glimpse of what motivated, what moved Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, even though he had a strict religious training in his youth, education at Oxford University, and missionary service in the new colony of Georgia, Charles Wesley had no peace or joy in his heart and life. Returning to London after a discouraging time in America, he met with a group of Moravians in the house of John Bray on May 21st, 1738 and came to realize that salvation is by faith alone. He was saved. 1738. Gloriously saved. He did not forget that day. In his journal entry for the same day, May 21st, he wrote, "At midnight, I gave myself to Christ, assured that I was safe, whether sleeping or waking. I had a continual experience of His power to overcome all temptation, and I confessed with joy and surprise that He was able to do exceedingly abundantly for me above what I can ask or think." Charles Wesley, never turned back. 1738. Now the second event, 1 year later, 1739, what happened? Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. Just 1 year after his heartwarming experience at the house of John Bray, the first Wesleyan chapel in London was a deserted iron foundry. It became known as the Foundry Meeting House. This hymn was written by Charles Wesley for the first service in this chapel in 1739. The popularity of this hymn is due in part to the fine tune with which it has been weathered for many years. The composer of the music has never been identified. The tune first appeared anonymously in the Lyra Davidica hymnal, published in London in 1708. The joyous Alleluia at the end of each line was not written by Wesley, but was added by some editor to make the text fit the tune. Charles Wesley went home to be with the Lord in 1788. 1738 to 1788 is exactly 50 years. 50 years from the time Charles Wesley was saved, he's written over 6,000 hymns. As I researched into this life, I was amazed. He's written over 6,000 hymns. Say, how on earth could one man write 6,000 hymns? Not just hymns by numbers, but hymns that are really a blessing to those singing them. I say, when the Spirit of God works in you, you will find ways and means of writing over 6,000 hymns, dear friends. Don't underestimate yourself. It is the Spirit of God in you that begins to work, and you will become great, able, effective, doing things you never thought you could do, because the Spirit of God moved him. That's how he could write 6,000 hymns. Amazing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." When the Spirit of God comes on you, you too will be changed. You do things you never knew you could do. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 to 19 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." For Charles Wesley, it will be filled with the Holy Spirit, composing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in thy heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." For Charles Wesley, it will be, "Let the word of Christ dwell in thee richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing others in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, composing with grace in thy heart for the Lord." Even on his deathbed, it is said that Wesley dictated to his wife a final hymn of praise to the Lord he had loved so intimately and served so effectively. We have a biblical example. We have a historical example. We have, let us see, a present day testimony. A present day testimony. Now, two verses that are dear to me. I've shared one of them at a youth and young adult camp. I would like to share the second one tonight. The Apostle Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2. Turn to Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2. And I want to give this to you because it has been so important in my life. I'll never forget this verse. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. "This is my testimony, what the Spirit of God has done in my life, why I gave up, forsook the senior lecturer position in Republic Polytechnic. For this reason," 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to Timothy, "study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, I was already a Christian. I was already a saved believer. A distressing life event had rocked my life. That was before I gave my life to study at Bible College. I never forget that weekday morning in Marina Square Shopping Mall. I'm not promoting the shopping mall, okay? This was where it took place. I was there, alone. I say these things do not happen by chance. As I said earlier, a distressing life event had rocked my life. That morning, I was wandering aimlessly in Marina Square. The whole shopping mall was practically empty. Everyone was at the office. I had just come up from one of the escalators. I was somehow reminded of my desire to study in Bible College after my retirement. And when the reality of the distressing life event I mentioned pressed on me, I asked. On that day, in November 2010, I asked the Lord, "Why is this happening to me? Is it that you want me to study in Bible College now and not after my retirement? Is that what you will have me to do?" I never forget that day. The Spirit of God affirmed, "You give your life to study." Yes. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What is going to happen to me after my studies, I do not know today, but it will be shown me in the day to come. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the main thing is, "Lord, I promise, you have risen for me. Let me live for you." I cannot rise for Jesus Christ, of course. I cannot rise for anybody, but I can live for him. I say the same for you. If you realize that Christ the Lord is risen today, you say, "Lord, let me live for you. In the small way that I can do, let me live for you." I did. Never turned back. And now I'm rejoicing. Every day rejoicing. Because my will is the Lord's will. Charles Spurgeon once said, "When your will is God's will, you will have your will." Sensing the Lord's calling, I asked the Lord, "Is that what you will have me to do?" Saul asked in Acts chapter 9 verse 6, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Charles Wesley was willing to allow the Spirit of God to change him and to work through him. Are you willing, as Charles Wesley was, to allow the Spirit of God to change you and to work through you? Then you'll be a blessing. You need not write 6,000 hymns. It's a rare accomplishment, but it can do something. So dear friends, every born again believer, Christian, you ask this question. Acts chapter 9 verse 6, please see, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" Or if you could sense what the Lord wants you to do, "Lord, is that what thou would have me to do?" Wait on the Lord. Pray to him. Can you make this your prayer? If you mean business to the Lord, if you want to be used by him, I say you pray. We must be ambitious for the Lord if my Lord is risen. If truly he is risen and he is coming for me one day and he has left the work for me to do, how can I do nothing and be contented with my own salvation? We all owe a gospel debt, dear friends. You and I, we owe that gospel debt. But pray. The risen Christ, now at the right hand of God, in the majesty on high, will hear your prayer. You say to him, "Lord, what is it you want me to do?" Or, "Lord, is that what you want me to do?" Sincerely from your heart, and you cry out and say, "Lord, here I am. Use me if I have anything that is useful for you." When you pray earnestly, the indwelling Spirit of God works in you. You'll be different. You'll be able to do things for the Lord. you make that prayer, you are going to see your life changed, and you are going to be effective and used for the Lord. The Holy Spirit Comforter will strengthen you, change you, will stimulate you. Writing 6,000 hymns was given to Charles Wesley. What will be given to you? How would you know? When you give your life back to the Lord, He will show you in great and mighty ways. No matter who you are, you can be effective for God if only you are willing. Abraham Lincoln used to remark that he could get any number of men who are willing to shed their last drop of blood, but he found it difficult to get men to be willing to shed their first drop to make a beginning. Don't talk about what you will do for Jesus by and by. Just begin now to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to work in you and follow where He may lead. So this evening, I say, dear friends, thanking Jesus, sing the resurrection songs, and be uplifted and be provoked and be so happy singing is not enough. Please think, consider. May God speak to someone this evening who will think, if I can live my life for the Lord to better effect, to greater profitability for the kingdom of God, why not? Why not? The day will reveal it when you stand before the throne, before the Lord, and say, Lord, I thank you, I gave my life for you, to live for you, who arose from the dead, and who said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Christ the Lord is risen today is our closing hymn. Let's all sing it with heart and soul, mind and strength, and voices the glory of God. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Let's arise to sing.